And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A. It's Talk of the Town. Today is the Thursday Roundtable. Talk of the Town is sponsored by House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Prescott Dirt, Cottonwood Area Transit, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
Well, how you doing, everybody? We have a jam-packed Thursday roundtable for you. We are going to be checking in with a blues legend. He's guitarist Buddy Guy, and he'll be performing live at the Pepsi Amphitheater in Flagstaff tomorrow night. And so we got Buddy Guy. He's going to be joining us in just a couple of moments. And then another guy who I guess we could nickname Buddy Guy also, but he's actually Prescott Valley Town Councilman Marty Grossman. And he will be here to tell us about the process by which they will be replacing the new county supervisor, Mary Mallory, who left her position with the town council to join the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors, and now the town of Prescott Valley is going to have to replace Mary Mallory, and so Marty Grossman is here to tell us how they're going to do it. And then a little bit later on, we're going to revisit our interview with great political analyst Mike Huckabee, who will be joining us live here in Prescott on Saturday, August 3rd at the Yavapai College Performing Arts Center. Tickets are still available, I believe, but they are going fast. But we are going to have a chat with Governor Mike Huckabee a little bit later on in the show. So stay tuned. After this, we're going to be talking with a blues legend, Buddy Guy, here on Talk of the Town, KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live, KQ&A.com.
Propane, the name you trust. We want you to stay comfortable with us. Over the years, we've taken pride in serving you. Locally owned, we're neighbors too. Serving the community is what we do. Barrett Propane, the name that's tried and true. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Choices, choices, choices. For those times when the whole crazy bar scene and loud music just aren't what you're looking for, but you're also not looking for a dull and boring family-style chain restaurant dining experience, we say choose tried and true Prescott Brewing Company. Comfort food and great beer. Vegetarian and great beer. Made from scratch, including the beer. Salads and pizzas, burgers and tacos, pulled pork and smoked brisket. There's something for everyone at Prescott Brewing Company. Real food, real beer, real people, and real local.
It sure is hot in Cottonwood in the summer, and nothing is cooler than riding Cottonwood Area Transit.
Bruce, CAT provides friendly, safe, and courteous travel, and that's why riding the CAT is cool during the summertime.
Cottonwood Area Transit can take you where you want to go in Clarkdale, Verde Villages, and 26 locations in Cottonwood. Verde Lynx will give you a cool ride to Sedona.
Don't forget your trips to Camp Verde and Greyhound through the Yavapai Apache Nation Transit.
Rudy, that's hot stuff.
And I'm riding the cool CAT. Let's go.
Visit CottonwoodAZ.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit.
It's monsoon season. You know what that means. Mud. Prescott Dirt is here to help. This is Sam from Prescott Dirt. We can keep the mud out of your way and even slow down erosion, keeping your bank in place. Nobody wants their yard moving around by itself. No truck? No problem. Prescott Dirt delivers. Find us in Prescott and Prescott Valley to set up delivery or pickup. And you can find us online at PrescottDirt.com. Keep your yard beautiful with Prescott Dirt.
Are you looking for the right product at the right price with outstanding customer service? A&E Reaper Graphics brings it all together with a variety of printing that includes banners, business cards, and so much more. A&E Reaper Graphics will get you the best products at the best price, all with our 100% customer satisfaction guaranteed. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no-problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
We're talking with blues great Buddy Guy, a legend, a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Buddy Guy joining us here. Great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
First thing I got to ask is, after all the experiences that you've had, I don't think I'm letting any secrets out by telling people you're 81 years old, but yet you must still get excited about the idea of going on stage and performing. Why is that?
I think it's got a lot that I always did have before we lost all of the great blues players. Well, most of us used to be youngsters, learned from, no longer with us. But now, you know, they don't hardly play much blues on radio anymore, but the world is mad and some young people don't even know about the blues. I have kids come up to me now, 8, 9, 12 years old, say, all I heard of you is what Jimi Hendrix said 30 years ago or what Eric Clapton said or something like that. And when I do go play, I see smiles on faces and I look and I was born on a farm, and I said, well, I know probably one day you had a problem, but I made you forget about it for this hour when I'm playing because I saw you smiling.
Now you're originally from Louisiana, but you eventually found your way to Chicago, and obviously, you know, we don't have to go through the whole thing as to why on earth would a blues guy want to go to Chicago. I mean, that was the epicenter for blues in the 50s and 60s, and you hooked up with quite a few people when you got there.
Well, I wasn't the only one come here. You know, I think the Chess Records and the blues was being recorded here more than any other city in the world on those heydays of the Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf and Little Walter, and them, it was being exploded. And then when the British got a hold to it and exploded and put it where we did, matter of fact, I don't think they let Muddy Waters and them put it where the British put it. So when they started playing it, they came to America and said, wait a minute, you know, this is Muddy Waters. I don't know if you remember the television show called Shindig.
Oh, yeah.
And the Rolling Stones was getting big, and they was trying to get the Stones to do this show, and Mick said, I'll do it if you let me bring Muddy Waters, and they want to know who in the hell was that. And he said, you mean to tell me you don't know who Muddy Waters is? And we named ourselves after one of his famous records, Rolling Stone.
And you had kind of a similar experience, too. I read about you giving Eric Clapton some pats on the back for some licks that you heard, and Clapton told you, he said, well, you should like them, they're yours.
Yeah, he told me that, because it's Strange Brew, what it was.
Yes.
And I was playing it, and he was smiling, looking at me. I said, man, I'm crazy about that lick. And he just looked at me and said, are yours? And, oh, you know, he said, I got them from you, you know. And, well, like I said, they put the blues in some spots more than B.B. King and none of us hadn't done before. Because, first of all, it was calling it something new the British was coming out with. Even the Chess people, we was with Chess, and they came and got me with the late Willie Dixon. And say, bring him in here now, because he was playing that before the British got it. Because I went to England in February 1965, and they wasn't famous. And Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton, and Jimmy Page told me they slept in a van to watch me play. And they didn't know blues could be played on a Stratocaster until they saw me. And all of them went out and bought Stratocaster.
And I know, too, that, Buddy, you get a lot of credit for inspiring Jimi Hendrix, who best rock guitarist of all times. In fact, it was after Jimmy died that some of the performances that you had, people were claiming that you were imitating Jimi Hendrix, but the fact is Hendrix got a lot of his ideas and showmanship, you know, being as aggressive as he was on stage, he got a lot of that from you.
Well, you have to ask Eric Clapton that, because he made a comment, say, I saw Buddy doing that stuff before he ever heard of Jimi Hendrix, you know, because I got that from a guitar player in Louisiana with the name Guitar Slim, man. You know, I saw him play. I was about 16, 17, and I saw B.B. King, which had a vibrating left hand. He didn't need no special effects, and I saw B.B. play, and then I saw Guitar Slim, and I said, if I learn how to play the guitar, I want to sound like B.B. King, but I want to act like Guitar Slim.
How important was your partnership with Junior Wells, the harmonica player?
Well, all of them. You know, Junior and I was right around close to the same age than Muddy and Wolf and Walt and those people like that. And he would always have problems keeping a band together. We had the same manager at the time, and he suggests, I think you can control Junior a little bit better. We put y'all together, because after they put us together, he couldn't fire me. He could fire all the members of the band, but when he got with my band, he couldn't fire my band, because I had hired the guys. And he laughed about it. We laughed about it a lot before he passed away. You know, everybody had a little problem with bands, and back in those days, we wasn't making no money. We were just making a lot of, having a lot of fun, man, and learning some of the stuff that they left me with.
When you look at the great blues guitarists of all time, traditional blues guitarists like Albert King and John Lee Hooker and Elmore James and people like that, do you kind of get the feeling sometimes that you're like the last man standing and you're kind of carrying the flame for these guys?
Don't leave B.B. King out.
Right, and B.B. King, yes.
Yeah, we talked about that before they passed. We used to laugh and joke about it over a drink, man, and who knows who'll go first. They used to look at me and say, man, you know, if I leave here before you do, don't you let that blues die. And my new album coming out next month, it's called Blues Is Live and Well.
That's fantastic.
It's alive, but it's not well, because several years ago, that some of the lyrics we were singing, say, for instance, when I first met B.B. King, I said, man, that record you made, I got a sweet little angel. I love the way she spreads her wing. And I was trying for him to explain it. He said, sit down, son, let me explain that to you. I had to read between lines. And when hip hop came out, they didn't do that. They just sung whatever it was, and they were selling more records than we ever thought of. And it was beeping that. They say that was too close. But when the hip hoppers come out and start singing some of the more profane stuff, man, and I'm like saying, what happened? You know, I go, that's the way time is, you know. But, you know, like I said, we talked about who's left here. Don't let the blues die, man, because we all had a lot of fun. We had learned so much from each other with it, and like you say, I might be the last one standing now.
Now, the Buddy Guy show that's going to be headlining the Colorado River Blues Festival, what can we expect to see and hear from you during this show, and are there certain songs that you're going to play that have particular personal meaning for you?
Well, I'm going to tell you, like my mother and father told me before I learned how to play, I'm going to tell you like I tell everybody else, I'm coming there to play, and I don't want to be the best in town. I just want to be the best until the best come around.
Well, I'd say that given all your travels and people that you played with and have inspired and all the awards and Grammy awards and things like that that you've received over the years, I think people have really taken to you and have recognized your talent to the point now where when you coming to see Buddy Guy is now a happening. You got to play in Israel recently.
Well, I just got I'm invited back, I think in November. I played in the White House, and I even told the president, you know, I used to pick cotton by hand, and I told him I said, I was picking cotton. It's a long way from picking cotton with a cotton sack and picking the guitar in the White House.
It's been an amazing life, and it goes on, and yet here at the festival, you're going to be headlining. The folks that are coming there, by and large, are coming to see you, and I understand what you say about blues haven't found as much of a home on radio as maybe you'd like, but boy, as far as live performances go, you certainly don't seem to have much trouble attracting a crowd.
Well, I think it's not what we do today, which I tell the record company. It's not what we do today. I think a lot of people come and see me for what I've been through or what I did yesterday. You know, I don't mean that yesterday was Tuesday. I'm talking about yesterdays and years that I played with some of the greatest guitar players, horn players that ever played, and I'm the last one standing. I guess they say, well, I better go take a peek at it. My biggest audience now is foreign people, because I stuck with the club through thick and thin. And people come from all over the world now just to see it.
Do you have a band that travels with you, or are you...
Oh, yeah. No, I'm like America's Best. I don't leave home without it.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for taking the time to join us. I know that we're really looking forward to your performance and for being the headliner. You know, it has just been a joy to be able to spend some time with a legend like yourself, and really do appreciate everything that you've done and everything that you will do for the love of the blues. Buddy Guy joining us. Buddy, have a great show.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you. And not just my blues. Will you stick a little B.B. King and John Lee Hooker, Lightning Hopkins on your show once or twice a week for me.
All right. Well, we'll be messing with the hook while we're waiting for you.
All right. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
All right, and that's Buddy Guy. He'll be live in Flagstaff tomorrow night at the Pepsi Amphitheater. Marty Grossman up next here on Talk of the Town.
Get ready for a blast from the past. The Ultimate 70s Tour is coming to Cliff Castle Casino Hotel. See Orleans, Poco, and Pure Prairie League live Saturday, August 10th at Stargazer Pavilion. It's going to be an unbelievable performance. Four decades of classic hits in one unforgettable evening. Tickets on sale now, starting at just $20. Head to the Cliff Castle Casino gift shop or cliffcastlecasinohotel.com for purchase. Cliff Castle Casino Hotel, the perfect place to play.
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals. Healthy animals are a huge part of healthy communities, and so are music and the arts. For years, I had the distinct pleasure to sing and act on stage for the old Prescott Fine Arts Association, now Prescott Center for the Arts. So it's a natural that Olson's supports the arts and encourages you to attend the 32nd Annual Arizona Cowboy Poets Gathering, August 8th, 9th, and 10th. As in the past, it'll be held at the beautiful Yavapai College Performing Arts Center. If you've never been, you have to do it. The talent on display, both poetically and musically, is awesome. The performers magically put a human face on a ranch life because they live it. It's amazing how much sense they make. Last year, over 3,000 folks attended. They came from the Prescott area, other parts of Arizona, surrounding states, and as far away as the East Coast. For tickets and info on free-to-the-public day sessions, go to azcowboypoets.org. And remember, folks, good enough just isn't.
Yes, there is. Augie's Happy Hour with some tasty reds and whites. Just the thing for those summertime blues. Enjoy the beautiful blue sky on Augie's patio with mountain views that make every meal a sight to behold. Chef Joel will have you jumping for joy all summer long at the one and only Augie's. Call 777-0330. The place to dine on Highway 69, Augie's Frontier Village.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And joining me live in studio is Prescott Valley Town Councilman Marty Grossman. And Marty, welcome. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great being here. I think this is the first time that I've done your show.
Yeah, and you are following a legend, Buddy Guy. I mean, imagine that. That is huge. And we got Mike Huckabee coming up, too. So this is the star-studded version of the roundtable here on Talk of the Town. But we are actually here to talk about the process by which the Prescott Valley Town Council is going about replacing Mary Mallory, who was successful in her appointment to the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors, replacing Supervisor Jack Smith. And we talked about that on an earlier show about how the Board of Supervisors goes about doing its thing. And so I wanted to invite Marty to come and explain how the Prescott Valley Town Council is going to go about replacing Mary Mallory.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a difficult process. I mean, we went through it once before, and we had Jody Rooney replace someone else. So, you know, we've been through it before with most of us anyway. Anyway, so the first thing you have to do is you have to go to the town clerk's office and pick up a packet, the application packet, okay? And that started last Monday on the 29th. All packets have to be turned back in, filled out by August 9th.
Okay.
Now, in the packet, they have a town council application, which basically, you know, name, address, phone number, job experience, and there's a couple of questions regarding why you want to be, you know, what makes you think you're qualified. The basic minimum qualifications to run for the position is you have to be 18 years of age, and you have to be a resident of Prescott Valley for at least 1 year.
And the town council is totally nonpartisan, so you do not have to be registered of a particular political party in order to apply for this position.
That's correct. I mean, it's a nonpartisan position.
But do you have to be registered to vote?
Yes, you have to be a registered voter.
Okay, you got to be a registered voter if you're going to put your name in.
Yeah,
okay,
that's good. Yeah, that's definite. So, you know, and if you go back and you look at everything that we do, there is nothing that could be considered partisan in what we vote for. So it's fairly common sense.
Now, once the applications close, then what is the process by which the applicant is evaluated? What happens next?
Okay, well, the applications have to be in by August 9th. August 15th at our council meeting, we will have all of the applicants come before the council. Every one of them.
Wow.
Will come before the council, and they will be given 5 minutes to sell us on why they are the best qualified candidate. And what we will do is we will have our own little vote amongst us. We'll have a little paper ballot, and we'll pick three names, and we will pick the top three or four candidates, okay? Those three or four candidates will then be invited back for the September 5th council meeting. And the reason why there's a couple of weeks in advance in between is August 22nd, we're going to be down at in Tucson for the League of Cities and Towns. Mm-hmm. And August 29th is the fifth Thursday of the month. We don't have a meeting on the fifth Thursday of the month, only the first four.
So now the initial five-minute presentation that each applicant will make to the council, will the council be asking questions of these applicants, or are they basically there to just simply make their case and that's it?
Well, we already have had their applications, which has a couple of questions on it, and we already have an introduction to them on paper.
Okay.
Now they have to present themselves, and a lot of times that's what it comes down to. You know, on paper you can look great, but if you can't present yourself properly, you're going to get run over by somebody who makes a great presentation.
Understood.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you guys, the remaining members of the council, do you have some sort of a scoring process by which you decide, or is this strictly just like a gut instinct thing from each one of you?
It's just gut instinct, and you know how they answered the question. You know, and again, you know, it comes down to the presentation, and you know, if you're the last time we went through this, we had one guy come up, and all he wanted to do was vent and complain about the poor job that we were doing, the poor job that our town manager was doing, and he just got up there for 5 minutes. He vented, and I was like,
"Wow,
okay, do that."
Do you happen to remember when Jody Rooney filled that open position? How many applicants you got back then?
We had nine.
Nine.
We had nine applicants. We narrowed it down to four, and then we gave them the. After we narrow it down to the three or four, there's another questionnaire. And in that questionnaire, that's like six questions, okay? And it basically covers individual topics. And most important is the time element that that it takes to be on the council. It's not 2 or 3 hours on a Thursday night.
Well, I mean, as much as you guys get paid, I would imagine there's a lot of clamoring to be a Prescott Valley town council.
Okay, I'm
being facetious, of course.
Yeah, but it is actually a decent paying part-time job. I mean, it's $700 a month. You know, and, you know, it pays a couple of bills. What can I say?
All right. Well, we're going to keep a tape of this so that when you guys go for a raise, Marty said it was good. Yeah. So
we've already turned down a raise.
Good. I'm telling you, the Prescott Valley Town Council, I'm not blowing any smoke at you. I'm just telling you that you guys have really kept it together for a lot of years, and you've been able to replace people along the way or have elections where, you know, you've maintained a very high level of cooperation and continuity. And I think you're to be praised for that.
Thank you. I mean, okay, we're going down in a couple of weeks. We're going down to the League of Cities and Towns. Okay. When we go down there, especially the first time I went down there, we go down and we have breakout sessions. And I, you know, and they, we're at the breakout session, and it doesn't matter what the topic is. At some point, it gets to the point, we should be doing it the way Prescott Valley is doing it. They're doing
Isn't
it right.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah,
Isn't that
I mean,
nice?
And you know, and you hear that all the time, and yeah, you know, you puff up your chest, you know, Isn't and you nice. Get a big grin on your face. And I hear it all the time. So it's not like I'm, you know, I'm bragging on us, but I am, you know. I'm proud of the job that we've done and what the predecessors to me have done and to build it up. And we have to, I mean, I have to give a lot of credit to our town manager who's been there. Larry's been there, what, 14 years now, 15 years? I mean, he's been there a long time.
I mean, the Tarkowski miracle still lives to this day. And I will never say it often enough that he was able to pave the roads, install a sewer system, and return money back to each property owner. It's a miracle that that would never happen today, unless, course, it happened in Prescott Valley, but it would never happen today.
Yeah, basically, it wouldn't. But, you know, I mean, and I've heard you, you know, brag about the town, you know, very often at different, you know, the quarterly breakfast and other events. You know, I mean, you've been around. You've seen the town go from nothing to where we are now.
As a matter of fact, last night we were down at the Civic Center and we were seeing all the historic tiles, you know, that are up on the wall. And there was one referring to the heliograph site up on Bald Mountain, and that it is now the home, 100 years later, it was the home of the first solar-powered FM radio station in the country, which was us.
Yeah.
So it's like we got our little piece of history up there on the Civic Center wall. It's really cool. Well, we got to wrap this up, but again, the folks living in Prescott Valley, registered voters, 18 or over, have the ability to get a packet. They have to go down to
the... They have to go to the town clerk.
Okay. And
on the second floor.
All right. And then they've got to have it back by August 9th.
Yes. It's got to be returned by August 9th.
Do you have to appear at that August 15th meeting in order to be considered?
It would be a very strong
I was
suggestion.
Gonna say, how could
it's
you
like,
not?
It's like, will you get the job if you don't show up for the job interview? Because that's basically what it is. It's a job interview. And again, anybody that's thinking of applying, it's not just 2 or 3 hours. You could be assigned. You could be given an assignment. You may have to be up in Flagstaff at 8 o'clock in the morning down in Phoenix. There are evening assignments, like, you know, school board or fire board. They meet late afternoon, early evening. School board meets at 6:30 at night, and it could go till 9, 10 o'clock.
All right, Marty Grossman, keep up the good work, and we will be looking to see who you end up replacing Mary Mallory with. Those are big shoes to fill.
They certainly are. So thank you for having me. A great being here.
You bet. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Mike Huckabee, the governor of Arkansas and a Fox News contributor, will be joining us right here on KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com. We're right back after the news.
The open road is waiting for you at Affinity RV. You get a home with a view.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service Sales and Rentals, and we're proud to have been chosen one of the top 50 RV dealerships in North America. We're located at Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69, Prescott Valley, and Dewey, and online at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
It's time. It's time for change on the Prescott City Council. Hi, this is State Representative Noel Campbell, and I'm concerned about the future of our city. It's time we had a watchdog at City Hall, not a bunch of lapdogs. It's time for Kathy Rusing. Kathy will ensure that hardworking taxpayers get a fair deal. And most of all, she will work to preserve the Prescott we love by saving the Granite Dells. Vote for Kathy Rusing. For more information, go to KathyRusing.com. That's KathyRusing.com. It's time.
Paid for by Kathy Rusing for City Council.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14.
41? 31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for joining KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'm DJ Phone with your Thursday check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Affinity RV. In yet another wrong-way incident, DPS arrested a man driving on the westbound side of eastbound Interstate 10 in the noon hour today.
One of our troopers attempted to block off the wrong-way driver in the HOV lane. The vehicle then struck the front left of the patrol car, then kept going.
DPS Public Information Officer Bart Graves says after the driver struck the DPS vehicle, leaving very minor damage,
the wrong-way vehicle then went around another patrol vehicle. The suspect then stopped in the emergency shoulder off left, got out of his car, and then ran across the Gore area where troopers took him into custody. Impairment is suspected.
A quick response by the Verde Valley Fire District helps keep a barn fire from getting out of control.
Firefighters responded to the fire in Page Springs. Crews found a small barn and fence on fire, which was burning about a mile down dirt roads from Oak Creek School near Willow Point Road. I'm Link Elliott reporting.
Scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms today. A 20 to 30% chance for more tomorrow and Saturday. 40% Sunday. Cooling after bedtime to a partly cloudy 64 in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey Humboldt. With mostly sunny highs tomorrow through Sunday around 89. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, the same chances for today's and weekend. Scattered monsoon spot storms. Cooling late tonight to near 69. Friday through Sunday afternoon highs near 100. Your KQ&A news and weather this hour is a service of Affinity RV. Have a great Thursday evening and stay tuned as Talk of the Town, the Thursday Roundtable, continues on KQ&A.
Get ready for Celebrate Life Health Expo 2019, sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center. The biggest and best expo yet awaits you on Friday and Saturday, September 6th and 7th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Findlay Toyota Center in Prescott Valley. Enjoy health, wellness, and fitness activities for all ages. Connect with organizations that promote healthy lifestyle activities, such as hiking and biking. Enjoy self-defense, chair yoga, and recipe demonstrations, and enter drawings for the chance to win a Fitbit and other great prizes. Make it a mega celebration by exploring the world's only larger-than-life walkthrough exhibits of the human body, mega body and mega heart, as well as colossal colon. Bring the whole family to YRMC's Celebrate Life Health Expo at the Findlay Toyota Center in Prescott Valley, Friday and Saturday, September 6th and 7th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, visit yrmchealthconnect.org.
Barrett Propane, the name you trust. We want you to stay comfortable with us. Over the years, we've taken pride in serving you. Locally owned, we're neighbors too. Serving the community is what we do. Barrett Propane, the name that's tried and true. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Are you craving a lodgepole-like cream ale from Prescott Brewing Company, but you're too lazy to get off the couch and into the pub? Are you hungering for some apricots and beer brewed together in our Palpricot Pale Ale? Or are you thirsty for a malty Manzanita Red Ale with great drinkability and a bit of spunkiness? Well, now you can have all three of them safe and secure in your own fridge. Enjoy six of PBC's most popular beers brewed and canned to perfection. Available from Prescott Brewing Company, downtown Prescott, and out and about town at several retailers.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And it's my pleasure to welcome to Talk of the Town, Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor Huckabee, it's nice to have you with us.
Sanford, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
I know that, you know, when we were preparing for this interview, we didn't have the Mueller testimony to reflect on. And everyone in town that I spoke to that knew that I was going to be talking to you today say, you got to ask him, what about the Mueller testimony? What do you think of that? So what do you, think about what happened with Robert Mueller and his testimony?
Well, the Democrats said that the report was the book, and they wanted him to come to Congress because they wanted America to see the movie. Well, we've seen the movie. They thought it was going to be The Lion King, but it was actually Bob Mueller's day off. It was a disaster. And even the talking heads of CNN, which normally love everything the Democrats do and hate everything that makes Trump look good, even they had to admit that it was a disastrous day and that it was a huge mistake, and basically that this whole notion of going after Trump and impeaching him is over. Now, they may not believe it's over. You still have Adam Schiff, and you still have Jerry Nadler, that they're going to ride this dead horse when there's nothing but bones in the desert. But it doesn't matter because it's over. They just didn't have anything. And I almost got to the point I was feeling sorry for Bob Mueller, because he looked like a guy who obviously had not read his own report, had no clue what was in it. And when challenged with it, then he would simply revert back to, gee, that's not in my purview. And I'm thinking, no, sir, it actually is. But you have come here and embarrassed yourself by not having really a clue what's in that report with your name on it.
I thought the best quote of the day that I heard was from Trey Gowdy, where he said that the person that learned the most about the Mueller report in that testimony was Bob Mueller himself.
Great quote by Trey Gowdy, no doubt about it, and very accurate, because it was apparent that Mueller was fumbling and bumbling, and as I said, I came to the point I was almost beginning to feel really sorry for him. But here's the question that begs, Sanford. If Mueller really didn't know that much about what was in that report, who ran that show? And it appears that it was Andrew Weissman, who had donated money to Hillary Clinton, showed up at her victory party on the night of the election that turned out to be anything but a victory party, and a person who hates Donald Trump. And he should never have been on that investigative team, ever. And most of those 12 or 13 lawyers who were part of the investigation were Democrat donors. Seven or eight of them were Hillary donors. And they had no business being on a panel that should have been so far above any smack or sniff of partisanship. And instead, it looked like a true, as the president says, a true witch hunt. They just went after the wrong witch.
Well, and again, I don't want to spend all of our time talking about this, but I have to ask, you know, in light of what you have seen and what we know now, do you agree with the thought that between Comey and Clapper and Brennan and Strzok and Page and all these different players, that in fact what we are witnessing was an attempted bureaucratic coup of a duly elected president?
Absolutely. I've said all along that what we've seen was a conspiracy, a cover-up, and an attempted coup d'etat against an elected president of the United States. And that ought to scare the daylights out of every thoughtful American, regardless of his or her politics. This is dangerous stuff when you have people in the highest levels of law enforcement and intelligence not elected by anyone for any purpose. They're hired. They're appointed. Their job is to serve those who are elected and have direct accountability to the people. And instead, they tried to subvert the will of the people through an election. When I hear people say, well, the Russians tried to influence the election, I have no doubt that they tried. I don't know that they succeeded. But what worries me more is that people in our own government would attempt to overthrow an election. And I think we see more and more evidence of that. And if these folks are not held accountable, then we'll likely lose this great republic in my lifetime. And I'm getting kind of in the glide scope headed toward the finish line.
Well, I kind of figured that was what you were going to say. And yes, it is just absolutely scares the bejeebers out of me. Let's go ahead and change the subject to something else that I have a very deep passion about, and that is the state of Israel. You were in Israel recently. You've been there many times. Tell the folks listening about your overall opinion of the day-to-day and the culture and the life that people enjoy in the state of Israel. Because most people think that this is like an area under siege with constant conflict and all that sort of thing. And nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, I've been going since 1973. My first trip was when I was 17. I go now most years, probably five times a year. I can't even begin to tell you how many times it's been. I was just there last week. I'll be back at the end of August and again in November. What I tell people is that Israel is the nation on earth that most closely mirrors the United States. Both of our countries were born out of a desire to get away from the galloping terror of tyranny and to create religious freedom and give people an opportunity to raise their families under God. And Israel is an amazing country. They have come from a desert, desolate land. I have, in my own going there in the last 46 years, have seen the dry bones come to life, and I've seen the desert bloom, literally bloom, from barren areas where nothing was growing. It was just dust and rock, to lush vegetation where they now ship and export vegetables and fruits all over the world. But beyond that, it is a place where freedom of speech lives. Rights, human rights abound in ways that no other country between the Atlantic and the Pacific, anywhere in all of Africa or Asia, could mirror. No one. And when I hear people like these four members of the squad make the anti-Semitic comments, hateful and derogatory toward Israel, it really makes my blood boil. Because what the Israelis have created is a true oasis in a vast area of dictatorships and corrupt governments. The Israelis hold people accountable. They're a remarkable nation. They're our strongest ally. And I just am appalled that people would somehow try to call Israel an apartheid nation or push this false narrative of the boycott, divestiture, and sanction movement, which is very hurtful as much, if not more, to the Palestinian people than it is to the Israelis.
That's the part that just absolutely frosts me when people realize that when you do try to take economic punishment, the state of Israel, so much of the Palestinian area and the Gaza Strip are dependent upon Israel for a lot of things. I mean, electricity and water and so forth. So punishing Israel, you're actually punishing the people that you, quote-unquote, supposedly are trying to help.
Well, a good example, the SodaStream company is an Israeli company. Many Americans probably have had a SodaStream in their home. What they may not realize is that the founders of SodaStream built it in one of their big factories. I personally visited, spent half a day there. And they built it so that they could give Palestinians jobs. There were 600 Palestinians and 500 Israelis. They worked together, 1,100 of them, men and women, Muslim and Jew, side by side, got along beautifully. The Palestinians who worked there, Sanford, actually made four times what they could have and would have made anywhere in the PA, the Palestinian Authority. But the pressure was so intense on SodaStream because of the BDS movement that SodaStream eventually just decided to close that factory. They had no other choice. So the folks who were Palestinian, the majority of workers, went from a huge paycheck to none. They went from having full paid benefits and paid vacation, even free lunch at work. All their meals were provided, to now going back and living in abject poverty. So you just want to say, how did you benefit the Palestinians by going after an Israeli company that did a heck of a lot more for them by giving them good-paying jobs than they ever received when it came to life under the Palestinian Authority?
Well, and to me, the use of the word apartheid is a canard anyway. It's a math issue because what apartheid means is that a minority of people control the majority of the population, and Even the combined population of the Palestinians and Israelis, about 11 million, 75% of those people are Jewish. So if they're apartheid, then so are Italians, so are French, so are the British. I mean, it's just it's merely a smear.
Well, and most people are not aware that there are members of the Druze faith and even members who are Arab who are members of the Israeli Knesset. I'd like to ask them, how many Jews or Christians help govern Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Yemen, Syria, Iran, Afghanistan? Name one. There aren't any. So it's a very, very false narrative to somehow say that the Israelis are unfair. In fact, I can tell you that the Israelis protect the Muslim holy sites with equal fervor that they do the Jewish holy sites.
Yep.
But the Muslims, even though the Oslo Accords from 93 demanded and insisted that Jews and Christians have access to all holy sites, that simply isn't the case. And when I went to the ancient city of Shechem, now known as Nablus in the Palestinian Authority, to go with some Jewish friends of mine and pray at the tomb of Joseph, we had to go at 2 o'clock in the morning in a military vehicle. We had to drive around burning tires. We had to choke back tear gas and go in under armed guard just to have prayer. Now, that's how much the Palestinians protect the rights of Christians and Jews. But if you go to the Temple Mount, Jews or Christians are not allowed to go up to the Temple Mount and to pray there because the Muslims say, nope, this is ours and you can't come.
You can't even go up there, Governor, and move your lips.
Yep.
Yeah.
You'll be in real trouble.
One more question about Israel before we jump ahead, and that is, as a man of faith, how do you view the long-term success of Israel? Is it really vital, in your mind, to the future of Western civilization? We're not overstating that, are we?
No, we're really not. And, I mean, I could give you the biblical answer from Genesis 12. Those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. But even if I was not a believer, I am. Even if I didn't believe the book, but I do, I could tell you that it is of our vital strategic interest to be a friend, an ally, and a partner with Israel. We share intelligence. We share a common fundamental value system. We're both based on the Judeo-Christian understanding of personal responsibility, a God to whom we are ultimately accountable, that our laws are based on that Judeo-Christian biblical understanding of the sovereignty of God and the individual responsibility of each individual person, not because he or she is a member of a group, but because we have personal accountability to God. That's huge, and it's what we're based on as a country.
Well, and the one thing, if there was anything you could say positive about Muslim extremism, one byproduct, I think, is that it has brought the Christians and the Jews closer together.
Without a doubt. And sometimes I even have Jewish friends say, I don't understand why Christians are so supportive of Israel. And I remember saying to one of my Jewish doctor friends, he's from New York, and we were in Israel together, and he asked the question very honestly. And I said, let me explain it to you. You can be a Jew and have nothing to do with Christians. But you cannot be a Christian and not understand that every part of your faith is built upon the foundation of the Old Testament and the Jewish faith, and that our Savior, Jesus, was himself a Jew. So I said, it's real simple. You can be who you are without me. I can't be who I am without you.
And these exact sentiments were voiced by Pastor John Hagee on Sunday a week ago, on Mark Levin's program, and I thought that's full circle as far as I'm concerned. And Christians for Israel, I thought United for Israel is such a fantastic organization.
They do great work. They truly do.
Let's quickly jump over to the immigration question. I thought this one, this is where you really think, as a thinking person, you have X-ray eyes, because first it's a manufactured crisis, then it's not only not a manufactured crisis, but it's a crisis that President Trump has totally mismanaged. Now, I know you can't have your cake and eat it too, but boy, it sure seems like the left in this country is unabashedly trying to, you know, brainwash, or to use Omar's words, hypnotize the world about what is really going on down at the border.
Well, you live closer to it than most folks in America, but all of us who have been to the border, and I've been to several different places in it, the point is we have a crisis, and even the Democrats now have to admit we do, but they for months said there is no crisis. It's manufactured, as you just pointed out. But the crisis is that you have an entire party of people who truly believe in open borders, and they made that very clear during the debates when they all lifted their hand and said, yeah, illegal immigrants not only should be able to come into the country without question, but we ought to provide free health care for them. There are a lot of Americans, Sanford, who can't afford health care, and they're tax-paying American citizens. And I'm sure they're scratching their head saying, let me see if I get this right. I'm a tax-paying American citizen. I can't afford health care, but somebody who breaks into the country illegally is supposed to get theirs for free. It's like saying, you're a homeowner, and there's no food in your cupboard, and you can't afford to eat. But if a burglar comes in, the government will bring a food truck over and feed him and let you, the hungry homeowner, stand back and watch.
You know, this leads to one more question, and this has to do with capitalism versus socialism. All of the candidates on some level in the Democratic field are embracing some form of socialism, and in fact going, you know, much further than that. And they have support from the mainstream media. And this is a question I haven't been able to get a rational answer to. So hopefully we have found the person that knows how to address this. Capitalism requires business in order to, you know, fuel the economy. And the mainstream media that supports this socialist agenda relies on advertising in order to make its money. How on earth can a company that relies on business be a proponent of socialism?
Well, I think they're being dishonest with their customers, dishonest with the public. The fact is, socialism takes all kinds of people and makes them poor. Capitalism helps poor people to be able to become wealthy. I grew up dirt poor, so I know something about poverty. I don't have to be lectured about it. I don't have to read a book about it. It's where I grew up. My mother grew up in a home, Sanford, that didn't even have floors, just dirt. No plumbing, no electricity. I'm the first male in my entire family lineage that even graduated high school, much less went to college. So I don't have to be told what it's like to be without. But if it weren't for a system that said to me, you don't have to be stuck and stay where you are. You can get an education, you can work hard, and you can live your dreams. Well, that's the American dream, and it's built on capitalism. The notion that there's not a fixed amount of wealth and everybody just gets some piece of that pie. It's that there's an unlimited amount of wealth to be created, and once created, many more people can share in it. And if a person is able to create a successful business, he or she is going to create jobs, jobs that puts food on a person's table, that puts clothes on their back, that sends their kids to school and lets them advance. And maybe they break away and start their own businesses. This is why America is the greatest country on earth, the most prosperous, and the one that has provided more opportunity than any other country in the history of mankind. And we ought to be celebrating it. We sure as heck ought not to be denigrating it like some of these socialists are. And I guess virtually every one of the Democratic candidates for president has embraced socialism to the destruction of America if we were to let it happen.
Well, you have come through with the dishonesty argument, which I think is brilliant, and I really do appreciate you taking the time. Governor Mike Huckabee is coming to Prescott, by the way, on August the 3rd. He'll be appearing at Yavapai College Performing Arts Center, and this is being done in conjunction with the Republican Women of Prescott. And Governor Huckabee, I don't know if you are aware of this, but the Republican Women of Prescott have the most members of any Republican women's group in the universe, over 900 members.
Incredible. Well, this much I can tell you, Sanford, if it weren't for the Republican women, none of us would have ever been elected Republican anything. No, and I'm not just saying that.
I mean,
Republican women are the true workhorses of the party. They're the ones who actually get it done. A lot of the men will sit around and talk and talk about what ought to happen, but the women are the ones who make it happen. I myself would never have been elected first lieutenant governor and ultimately governor had it not been for the incredible, tenacious perseverance of Republican women. And I could start naming the heroes of my political life, and nearly every one of them a Republican woman.
Well, we are looking forward to having you with us here in Prescott, Governor Huckabee, and we definitely appreciate you making the time for your very busy schedule. You're probably getting a little bit of makeup done now for your Fox News appearance, so appreciate you stopping by before you head over to the TV.
Sanford, I look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much for having me with you today. All
I
the best.
I appreciate it. Thank you, too. Governor Mike Huckabee joining us live here on Talk of the Town, here on KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at KQ&A.com. We'll be right back.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 Whites Bar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Why wait till Christmas to have a party when Augie's Banquet Room is available 7 days a week for lunch, 7 nights a week for dinner? Having a birthday, anniversary, career promotion. Maybe you won the lottery. You don't need an excuse to book Augie's Banquet Room, but you do need a reservation. Call Augie's at 777-0330. Augie's Private Banquet Room. Just one more reason why the one and only Augie's Frontier Village is the place to dine on Highway 69.
It sure is hot in Cottonwood in the summer, and nothing is cooler than riding Cottonwood Area Transit.
Bruce, CAT provides friendly, safe, and courteous travel, and that's why riding the CAT is cool during the summertime.
Cottonwood Area Transit can take you where you want to go in Clarkdale, Verde Villages, and 26 locations in Cottonwood. Verde Links will give you a cool ride to Sedona.
Don't forget your trips to Camp Verde and Greyhound through the Yavapai Apache Nation Transit.
Rudy, that's hot stuff.
And I'm riding the cool CAT. Let's go.
Visit CottonwoodAZ.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit.
Prescott Living Magazine, the voice of the community. The summer 2019 issue is now available. Pick up your copy today and see who won the cover photo contest and read all about tourism and recreation in Prescott. The issue features an interview with Jim and Linda Lee, the new fashion section, and so much more. To find out more, like them on Facebook at facebook.com/Prescott Living Magazine or visit prescottlivingmag.com. It's about local. Come see what Prescott Living is all about. Prescott Living Magazine.
Is your advertising being noticed? Getting the right attention means getting the right business. At A&E Reaper Graphics, we focus not only on customer service, but also highest quality printing and design that is sure to catch the eye. A&E Reaper Graphics knows how to design, print, and deliver what you're looking for in your time frame. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
Get ready for a blast from the past. The Ultimate 70s Tour is coming to Cliff Castle Casino Hotel. See Orleans, Poco, and Pure Prairie League live Saturday, August 10th at Stargazer Pavilion. It's going to be an unbelievable performance. Four decades of classic hits in one unforgettable evening. Tickets on sale now, starting at just $20. Head to the Cliff Castle Casino gift shop or cliffcastlecasinohotel.com for purchase. Cliff Castle Casino Hotel, the perfect place to play.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Olson's for Healthy Animals, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Cottonwood Area Transit, Janessa's Family Hair Care, A&E Reaper Graphics, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Prescott Dirt, and Yavapai Regional Medical Center. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.